I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power. The Lord Jim, your spiritual fitness trainers. I am the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of Our Lady.
And I'm the Lebanese lover, brother. Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Blessed Mother and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jess, I'm so happy to be here the day before the 4th of July because we have the Feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. I have a lot to share with that. But the reading from the Gospel for today's feast day is really apropos for all of us. It's John 20, verse 24 to 29. Brother, could you please read the gospel for us?
Absolutely. This gospel here
is
very inspirational because all of us have moments of doubts, Terry.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lord doesn't abandon us, nope. Just like he didn't abandon Thomas the Apostle. Here's what it says in John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29.
Yep.
Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." So Thomas here, he wanted empirical evidence. He had not seen the risen Lord. He didn't believe the testimony of his brother apostles. And he was questioning because he saw what happened to Jesus just a few short days before. And he's saying, wait a minute, you're telling me that he's walking around now? I don't think so. I saw what the Romans and the Jewish Sanhedrin did to him. Goes on to say, 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." We hear that at Holy Mass, "Peace be with you." The words of Christ, shalom, which is one of the most beautiful expressions that one Jew can give to another, shalom. It means the peace of God. That's what it means. It doesn't mean this, Terry. It doesn't mean what the liberals go, hey, buddy, hey. No, it doesn't mean the 1960s stuff with your two fingers.
Yeah, really.
Shalom means I wish that you have peace with God. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. It's far deeper than the hippie stuff in the 60s. It goes on to say, by the way, in verse 26, Jesus had a glorified body, so he walked through the wall or walked through the door. He walked through matter. It doesn't say that there, but we know that there because he already has his glorified body at this point. And one of the four characteristics of the glorified body is that you'll be able to penetrate matter. And it says, verse 27, then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my sides and put out your hand and place it on my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." This is the climactic confession of St. Thomas's faith. And these words are so powerful that we've been saying these words at Holy Mass for centuries during the elevation of the Holy Eucharist.
Yep.
It is a tradition with a small t in the Catholic Church. That Catholics say, "My Lord and my God." And I've actually heard that in the old rite, it's that you get a partial indulgence every time you say, "My Lord and my God." And I don't think it's been abolished in the new rite as well. And so these words here, I remember Dr. Scott Hahn, he says that it helps you if you're having these doubts about the real presence of Jesus. He says, when you say those words, that's an act of faith. And as you say those words over and over again from one Holy Mass to another during the elevation of the Holy Eucharist and the precious blood, what happens is you're helping yourself to increase your faith in the real presence. And it ends by saying, "My Lord and my God," Jesus said to him, verse 29, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Terry, actually, people right now in 2019, Jesus Christ says, we are more blessed than the 12 apostles in a sense, because they believed in Jesus post-resurrection because they saw the risen Christ. You and I believe in Jesus by faith and by the trustworthy testimony of reliable witnesses, both written and both in oral tradition. And so based on the words of Jesus, it's he marvels at us even more so because we believe without actually touching him physically like St. Thomas did.
Well said. And Jesse, your point about when the elevation of the host goes up in the chalice and we say, my Lord and my God, I say one other thing that maybe it's a good action item for you, our listener, to add. My Lord and my God, give me stronger faith in you. That's what I add to that prayer every Mass I go to. Jess, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. You know, what you just said, again, we weren't there 2,000 years ago, but we know that we have the Word of God, we have the eyewitnesses there, and I just want to reaffirm that because so many times people are poo-pooing the Bible as some kind of thing. Well, we don't really know what Jesus said. They bring about doubt, and, you know, this approach has just devastated people's faith in God, and I would just say stay away from what I call modernists. And you know what modernism is? Go on our website, read the document of 1907 on modernism. And I'll just be honest with you. I can't say names, but I will say this. One of my friends who teaches at Catholic schools in the largest diocese in the world, or in the United States, LA, he tells me, he says, what we're teaching in the Catholic schools is basically modernism. Everything on modernism that the Holy Father talked about in 1907, that's now the policy in Catholic schools. Now, I cannot say that anywhere else. Why am I saying that? Because I want to warn you, Jess. I want to warn our listeners that modernism is alive and well. Hey, before I go to Bishop Sheen, I want to give a good news story. Jesse, you've been a policeman over 20 years. Here's a good story about the New York Police Department. Officers served as pallbearers for a funeral of a premature baby found on the side of the road. So what did they do? They decided to put their pennies together and became dollars, and they paid for a funeral in New York for that 20-week-old baby. Here's my point, Jess. Those officers know the value of life because they see life and death on a regular basis. But Jess, is it true that these kind of things cops are doing like this, many times nobody even knows about it? Is that a fair statement?
This happens all the time, and there's no cameras around, and there's no fanfare, and there's nobody that's, you know, putting these stories on the LA Times or New York Times front page. Cops are people, the vast majority of them, they're very decent people that took on that profession as a first responder out of love for humanity, and they go and do all kinds of altruistic things, you know, without fanfare, without you know, without, you know, trying to get accolades. They just know it's the right thing to do. And they are pro-life. That's why they're out there, they're, you know, being the vanguards of society, because they fundamentally believe in the sanctity and dignity of every human person.
Awesome. Jesse, before we bring Bishop Sheen in, I want to bond a really fast train. You know, those bullet trains, Mr. Engineer, can you hey, pull Sheen ahead? This fits right into John 20, the gospel of today, for Thomas. And Jess, you can give a little story on Thomas, but I want to tell you what Bishop Sheen said for today. He says, it's easy to find truth. It's harder to face it, and even harder to still follow it. And boy, Jess, you know how hard it is to follow the truth when your lower nature says you want pleasure, wine, women, and song? Yeah, you have to deny yourself. What Sheen is saying is the reality that, sure, it's not easy to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Anybody who tells you it's a piece of cake, it's not. It means sacrifice, but sacrifice is the language of love.
That's right. You know, and going back to St. Thomas the Apostle today, his feast day, though he may have had a moment of doubt, let me tell you, when he saw Jesus Christ, he fell on his knees, and he said, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
And where did that come from? Remember, at the time of the apostles, the emperors, the Roman emperors, demanded what's called emperor worship. The emperors saw themselves as demigods. And one of the things that the citizens in the Roman Empire had to do when you saw the emperor, you had to fall on your knees and call, you know, Augustus Caesar and all his successors, you had to call them my Lord and my God. It was they would say in Latin or in Greek, they say my Kaiser or my Soter, and my Soter, my Lord and my God. So when Thomas the Apostle looks at Jesus and says, my Lord and my God, what he's actually doing here is he's taking the words, because again, the Roman emperors, they saw themselves as gods walking upon the earth. And Thomas the Apostle, he's basically saying, you know what? I don't worship any Caesar. I don't worship any emperor. The only one that's Lord and God is Jesus Christ. And also, this is something that segues with the words of St. Peter. St. Peter says that there's no name under heaven by which men must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. Thomas the Apostle is just affirming what St. Peter says, that the name that saves is Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is not an emperor. He's not a Caesar. He is Lord and he is God. He's not some false God walking upon the earth like the Caesars were.
Hey, Jesse, just a quick note. Thomas went to India, the state of Kerala. He's buried there in the southern part of India. And many Catholics that live in India are in the southern part of India.
Hey, he was martyred there. He was killed. He was attacked by a mob for preaching the gospel.
That's right.
And they killed him with a spear during one of his missionary trips.
God bless him.
Yeah. And we know where he's at now.
Amen.
Call St. Thomas the Apostle.
You pray for us. Hey, when we come back, why are Catholics leaving the faith? This brave priest reveals the dangerous culprit. You know what? I love this priest. His name is Father Bill Peckman. And man, he speaks the truth with charity and clarity. And that's why we're putting him on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. You won't want to miss this next segment or the others, because we're going to be talking about why so many people are leaving and how to bring them back. You're listening again to the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be back in a moment. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we come to understand. According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God, Terry and Jesse Show. Father Bill Peckman has done us a great service. Oh. He wrote two great articles on why Catholics are leaving the faith and what Jesus would tell clerics about scandals, according to this brave priest. Before we jump into that, I just want to mention, I read an article. I wasn't real impressed by it. You can read it. You can go to our show page, vnpr.org or the jesseromero.com. It's called, it was written by the Washington Post. It's called, You Can't Understand Pope Francis Without Juan Perón and Evita Perón, his wife. It just basically gives you the history of Pope Francis's, who his parents were, the practice of their faith, where he lived, his siblings, the people that influenced him. And the only thing that jumped out at me in this whole article that was something that I kind of already knew from reading other works on Pope Francis is that he did have a very good friend who was a communist, a female friend, and he was very influenced by her. Other than that, it's stuff that we've already read before and heard before. But this woman that really influenced him, she was her name was Esther Balestrina. She was a Paraguayan feminist and a communist militant. And the article says, other articles have said this as well, that she became like a mentor to the young Francis. And they maintained friendship for many years to follow. Other than that, there's not much to the article. Terry, we'll move on with Father Bill Beckman
and Jesse, this is Father Bill Beckman. He's been a priest for 22 years. And I love what he said because it made sense. And I wish that the bishops of our country would take him as a consultant because his first point, he said, the first culprit is that we forgot the transcendent. Then before he talks about the transcendent, Jess, how many times have we said the vertical aspect of our faith we've forgotten? We've only been the horizontal and it's the cross. And so without the vertical aspect, the supernatural, nothing's done. He says, first, we tame God. We made him into our own image. You're kidding me? Yes. Ask yourself right now. We turned him into a kindly, ineffectual therapist. Those whose chief job is to enable our every behavior and pat us on the back for rebelling against him. Yes, I've seen that happen. Exactly what he's saying. He says, with such a tame God, there's no need to focus on him. God, right? The concept of personal sin went away. And this is what Bishop Sheen said. And became social sin, our societal sin. With this moved confession, went to the wayside and was replaced with a morph view of social justice. Whatever happened to sin? Jesse, he's spot on. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, a transcendent, it means otherworldly. It means beyond our ordinary human limits.
Supernatural.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he means, supernatural. That we've lost our sense of the supernatural. After the Second Vatican Council, just be honest with you, that's where you can start tracking it. That's when we started bringing in all kinds of pop music from David Haas and Bob Hurd and a lot of these guys who are now very pro-homosexual that have taken over most of the liturgical music in the church. And we've also seen more of an aspect of the communal aspect of the sacred liturgy versus the sacrificial aspect. All these things were done. They were done in my opinion, by design, to try to make the mass and the faith more horizontal and less vertical. And Father keeps saying that over and over again in his article. Again, we have tamed God. He says we tamed the devil and the demonic.
Well said.
And he says they became fodder for occult parlor games like the Ouija board, slasher films. And as a poster boy for secular humanism, when we tamed him, speaking about the devil, there was no need to be any more afraid of him than we were of carnival rides. And he says, taming God and taming the devil has led us, speaking of us as Catholics, led us to largely dismiss them. Along with God and the devil went their corresponding course, the Blessed Mother, the saints, the rosary, the rest of the devotional life was dropped, as was any sense of the demonic and sacramentals used to fight them, and spiritual warfare was dismissed and replaced with just be nice.
Oh my.
So Father's saying, and let's track this, modernists, what they did is by trying to take our religion to make it horizontal, and they've done a good job in many quarters, By making it more horizontal than vertical, like it was for centuries and centuries, it was a vertical religion. You know, it was the transcendent, the supernatural. We've tamed God. And now as a result of that, now what do we have amongst Catholics? Atheism. Because if God can be tamed, if God is not supernatural, then you know what? Why even believe in God? And what have we done with the devil? We've domesticated him. Yeah. We just make movies out of him or slasher films. But you don't hear about him anymore, really, in Catholic teaching. But thanks be to God, you can't call VMP part of the problem. We got a spiritual warfare conference every year.
Yeah.
And we get criticized for it. They're saying, you know, some people say, you guys shouldn't use that name, spiritual warfare. That's not nice. I say, you know what? St. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6. We're just following the Bible. And thanks be to God of people like Father Gabriel Amorth, who's brought back these schools of exorcism as a result of the fact that he kept pushing the Vatican in the right direction. And so it's coming back, Terry.
It is. And Jesse, that formed a vacuum for Catholics when they started poo-pooing the Blessed Mother, the devil, God, you know, just be nice. What that did is when some fundamentalist like Calvary Chapel came and said, you need to believe in the gospel. It's really God's word. And, you know, the devil is real. And you're starting to go, wow, is that right? Oh, well, you know, you see, it's attracting. I'll tell you why it's attracting, because everything they just said is true.
Catholic.
Yes, it's Catholic teaching. But when we dropped
it's not being taught.
Exactly. So that's the vacuum I'm talking about. Go ahead, Jeff.
Father talks about the two ways that the transcendent has been dismissed. He says is in liturgy and in Catholic education. So he says it.
Yeah.
He says, in liturgy, the focus of Mass went from God to humanity. And you can tell that just by some of the hymns. Just listen to some of the hymns. They're horizontal. Father says, we came to affirm ourselves and not worship God. We went for what was comfortable and unchallenging. In fact, things were so unchallenging that Mass itself became a dreary exercise in self-affirmation. If you want to lose people, especially men, then this is the correct route to take them. What is he talking about? Take them to a modernist feel-good Mass.
Yep.
That's what he's talking about. If you want to get guys to leave the church, take them to a modernist feel-good Mass. Trust me, they won't come back. Father says, the more we experimented with the Mass, changed the Mass, gutted the challenge from preaching into therapeutic moralism, filled it with songs about us, that's horizontal, the more and more people wandered out of the Catholic Church. Father, you're spot on.
And Father, I'm going to add one more thought that's huge. At the Second Vatican Council at the Mass, when they reformed the Mass, it said that the priest turns around and says, the Lord be with you. And that indicates the priest wasn't facing you. I think one of the big things that, and I'm just going to say it because I'm not in management, I'm in sales. I would love to see the priest facing the altar and not the people. And I'll tell you why, Jesse. He's a distraction for me and for others when it comes to worshiping God. Because you know what it can turn into? Worshiping man. So I would just suggest what Cardinal Seurat wanted to do 2 years ago. And unfortunately, the Holy Father said no. He wanted that for that very reason, to bring some sacredness back into the Mass. So I think Father is spot on. But I had to say that I think it would be much more sacred if everybody was facing the East.
And I'll tell you why, on a practical level, why we should go back to ad orientem positions at all Novus Ordo Masses.
Yep.
I'll tell you why. Because, Terry, even on a human level, priests have eyeballs, okay?
Yep.
They're not angels, they're men.
That's right.
And as we've seen quite clearly after 2002, that they have sexual appetites just like you and I do.
You got it.
It is not good for a man to be staring at the congregation, especially during the summer months, especially, Terry, let's just be honest.
That's true.
After Vatican II, women just dress a little bit more scantily in going to Holy Mass.
Yep.
Let's just be honest. The way some of the dress is right now, you wouldn't see that before 1965.
Nope.
There was a strict dress code, and women wore mantillas. They wore veils. They were covered.
That's right.
And they draped over their shoulders. So by a priest facing the people the entire time at Holy Mass, guess what? There's beautiful women out there. There's young women out there.
Of course.
That are wearing clothes that's like painted on their skin.
They're not blind.
You think that's good for a priest?
No.
To be looking at that for 60 minutes? Are you kidding me? That's why when they go ad orientem, their focus is more on God.
Yep.
And they're leading us in prayer to God. In the person of Christ, they're leading us towards the Father. I mean, that's what the Bible says. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The person, the priest at Holy Mass is in persona Christi, leading us to the Father. Can you imagine Moses when he was leading the Israelites to the promised land? Was Moses walking backwards facing the people? No! Moses was the point man, like a marathon runner.
Yep.
He was leading the people facing the same direction, facing east.
Jesse, this priest, Father Bill Beckman, is nailing it. And I just want to say that when we come back from the break, we're going to give you more reasons what Father has to say on why people are leaving. And also, how can we bring them back? I just really am convinced that the Vatican II Council says the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. Well, the very fact that what you just said about the priest not facing the people, he's no longer an issue of a distraction. What are we worshiping? See, a tin god? You know who said that? That's Bishop Sheen at the Eucharistic Congress in 1976. He said it back in 76. Turn us around. We're a distraction to the people. Jesse, you just said we're a distraction to the priest. It's both ways, brother.
Terry, well, look at how bad it's gotten. In many places, the tabernacle. No, I get it in cathedrals. That's different because there's tourists going in and Asian tourists that are gawking with their cameras and they're being irreverent because they don't know about the real presence. Right. I get that in cathedrals. Mm-hmm. But in many parishes or, you know, in a basilica where you have the tabernacle is in some side altar, some side chapel somewhere, and you have the priest's chair right in the middle of the sanctuary, you know, and elevated.
Yeah, you know, like a tin god.
Are you kidding me?
Ridiculous.
That's what we've replaced the real presence with, a man?
Nope.
That's what Fulton Sheen was talking about.
He did. Hey, when we come back, Jess, I want to continue with Father Bill's comments on bringing how to help not just why people are leaving, but how to bring people back. But I did want to make one good news story, too. I just want to tell you that there's three Irish newspapers apologized for false reports about seminarians accused of sexual problems. And those men now are vindicated. You know, I have to say, not every accusation is real. And it's nice to see that they apologized when they found out that it was bogus. It was false. And, you know, I can appreciate that. Hey, when we come back, we're going to listen to Terry and Jesse talking about why are Catholics leaving the faith. A brave priest reveals it. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The truth shall set you free.
Amen.
We have a Catholic priest, Father Bill Peckman, who's written some great articles, and he's telling us about the problems that we've experienced in the Catholic Church in the last couple of decades. But we're giving you the solutions as we lay out the problems. We are also giving you the solutions. He says here, another part of the problem is that he says Catholic education. He says the Catholic identity was not only seen as old-fashioned, but detrimental to education. The Land O'Lakes Conference and Declaration shoot away Catholic identity as if it were a pesky fly. And this seeped into the catechetical materials used on ages of children. We shifted away from a transcendent God who has expectations of us as his people to a doddering old fool of a God who enabled our whims because he had no real preference to morality. And morality became subjective, especially in higher education, because of the Land O'Lakes Declaration. For example, how subjective is it?
Yep.
Father writes, want to use birth control? Cool. Want to cohabitate? No problem. Want to reduce your body to carnal playground to be used as a toy? Sure. The list goes on and on. Without the transcendent, the Catholic religion is reduced to feeling good. And sure enough, Catholic priests and nuns, they also started dabbling in Eastern religions and Eastern mysticism. And they encourage others to do the same. Why? Because the human heart needs a sense of transcendence, the supernatural. And if we take it from God, we'll have to appropriate it for ourselves. We've made God irrelevant in that pursuit, and this was the seedbed from which the popular spiritual but not religious mantra is used today by the nuns all over the country. And for three generations, we've made God irrelevant. This has come into our homes. This is where things became fatal. The first generation raised on this watered-down nonsense became parents who learned well the lessons taught. And if happiness was already guaranteed from God without our effort, then we could focus on happiness in the world. And after a few generations, the eternal happiness was overwhelmed by the temporal happiness. Terry?
I want to back up to the Land O'Lakes Declaration. If you've never heard that or you're not familiar with it, this took place in the late 60s, have you ever heard of Notre Dame? Yeah, the school, Father Hesburgh, the president, he was one of those priests that were there. All the liberals came and said, you know what? We're going to stand up and tell the Holy See to go pound sand when it comes to birth control or any of these other issues. And as a matter of fact, we're going to start putting things in our Catholic schools that aren't Catholic, whether they like it or not. And here's what's happened. That was the key catalyst that just destroyed Catholic education because it got like a wildfire, every Catholic institution. It got so bad, Jesse, I'm going to say it right now. The Catholic Jesuit schools back, you know, you remember 20 years ago when they were showing pornography at the Catholic educations, and I caught them on that and I called them on it. And I got a pretty good story of how we got people to stop funding Jesuit schools. And I'm going to say it right now again. I wouldn't give a dime to most of these Catholic schools. There's just a handful of Orthodox Catholic schools like John Paul II, Thomas Aquinas, Christendom, and a handful of others that would be worthy of your funding. But education went south, and that's why some of your kids, when you say, I gave them 12 years of Catholic education, and they're not practicing the faith, is because, folks, we were duped. Okay, that's all.
Yeah, the Land O'Lakes Conference, it happened almost 50 years ago.
Yep.
And like Terry said, It's a group of university Catholic presidents.
Yep.
They signed this document called the Lando Lake Statement, and they sold out, Terry.
Yeah.
They basically function now as secular colleges, and they oppose the magisterium. In essence, what they're saying is that, you know what? We don't need to be told what's right and what's wrong. We, you know, the framers of this document, they essentially became their own magisterium, the magisterium of Catholic education. They're saying, we don't care what comes out of Rome.
Exactly.
We don't care what comes out of the magisterium. They said, we want, and here's what they were crying about, Terry.
Yep.
They're saying, we want academic freedom.
Exactly.
Like the secular colleges. Yep. They kept screaming that. Academic freedom. We want true autonomy. You know, we don't want clericalism. We don't want people to be, Rome to be overseeing our curriculum. And this is where we can say,
yeah,
the Catholic modernists, this was their D-Day. This
yeah,
was their
was.
Normandy Day
it
invasion
yeah.
into the Catholic
That's
education.
Right. That's right.
And guess what? And the barbarians are still controlling most of these universities. I off the top of my head, I've done the research, but off the top of my head, without finding it in my computer somewhere, there's like 270 Catholic colleges and universities in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
About 270. Only 30 have signed an oath of fidelity to the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church.
Say that again, Jesse, because I
and that was Catholic. That was something that was asked by Saint John Paul II.
Right. That's right.
He asked all the Catholic presidents to sign what was called a mandatum,
mm-hmm.
that was to pledge their allegiance as the college presidents and professors of theology and philosophy to the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church. About 30 presidents signed on. 240, well, they gave the big elbow.
That's it, basically, okay? What happened.
They gave the big elbow to Rome and says, you don't tell us what to do. We've got religious liberty and academic freedom.
Jesse, that's the situation we're in. And that's why here at Virgin Most Powerful, we want to proclaim the truth with clarity and charity. But we have to tell you the truth. You see, if we didn't tell you this and you send your kids into school you're thinking, oh, they're going to get a Catholic education, you need to ask questions about what they're teaching. You need to look at their textbooks. You need to do your due diligence. And that's what I would recommend. And this article will be linked on virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Jesse, continue on what Father
Let's continue. As a result of this, Father says, yeah. Mass, prayer, religious formation became theological roadkill on the highway to hell.
Yep.
However, as I said before, the heart needed the transcendent. So what happens? The temporal starts to take on a transcendent quality. The pursuit of wealth and pleasure and power, honor, became the focus of most Catholic Americans. The temporal got treated with the devotion
yep.
once given to the transcendent.
Yep, we're upside
and the
down.
Transcendent got treated with that, you know, that laissez-faire attitude of the temporal.
Yep.
Why is it parents will consistently choose sports or dance or leisure or barbecues and multitude of things instead of going to Mass on Sunday and religious formation? Why? That was what they were taught to do.
Exactly.
Because we've made God irrelevant and these things fill that gap. And it's why parents get hostile when approached with this. You know, when you tell them, hey, you got to take your kids to Mass on Sunday.
Yeah.
They're like, what? Don't tell me what to do. Catholic schools, Father says, then became reduced to private schools with statues. That's it. You go to the average Catholic school, Terry, it's a public school with statues.
You can't tell the difference.
Yeah. Father just said it.
Yep.
It's a public school with statues. He says, we became comfortable with that. Catholic identity was no more important in the parish school than it was in the university. Terry, you could see that because one of the things that the Land O'Lakes Conference brought into the church is, hey, you got to hire non-Catholic teachers.
Exactly.
You go to the average Catholic school, 50% of the staff, I've been told, yep. at the average Catholic school are non-Catholic teachers. Is this microphone on? Yep, it is.
Jesse, it's amazing. Hey, John in Kentucky's calling in. John, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. You want to join in on this conversation? What's on your mind, brother?
Okay, well, I want to get catechized on something. I agree with everything you guys say. I've lived through all of this,
yeah,
so I know
I bet.
What you're saying is true. we talk about Vatican II, and I, you know, it's been hijacked. It was hijacked by modernists and so on. I guess what I need to understand is I have not read all of the Vatican II documents, but is there something wrong with the documents themselves, or was the council hijacked?
That's a great question.
Okay.
We'll give you an answer.
I would say I'm going to agree with you, John. Without a doubt, the council was hijacked because there was modernist in the council. Okay. That's a fact. Now, the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God, protected the council, but it doesn't mean, in other words, when you look at everything in the catechism, look at the footnotes. Not everything references a council, a pope, or a prior man. Some of the catechism will have no footnotes. In other words, it was the liturgical, it was the commissions right there that, you know, they put their own wording theologically into the documents of the church. And so the only thing that I will say, and this is admitted by the modernists, I'll try to get you the quote. I think it was Skillebeck. I'll find out who it was, but they admitted, they said many of the phrases in the council documents were written ambiguously. Okay. So, and Skillebeck admitted this. He says, this way it could be interpreted one way or another. So, yeah, it's a perfect counsel given to us by God, the Holy Spirit. Was there bad people there? Absolutely. Did some of the people write in ambiguous language? Without a doubt.
Yeah, and John, I'll just add in on that. Always read the footnotes. I put Vatican II documents on cassette tape back in the 1980s because I said, nobody's reading this. They're all saying, well, the spirit of Vatican II says this. And I'm going, what? That's not what it said. So I would just read all the complete documents, and it won't take you that long. But remember, interpreting Vatican II with a hermeneutic of continuity, that means you do the hard work of looking up the footnotes, and if something's ambiguous, you interpret it in the light of the continuity of the faith. Benedict XVI explained that, and I wrote it down. And that would be my answer to you, John. Thanks for your call, brother.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Yep. And that's the war that we have in the church right now.
Yep.
People that are Orthodox, such as myself and Terry, when you read something from the Catechism or Vatican II, we're going to say, okay, well, what has the church always taught about this? Well, this is how you would interpret that. Okay?
Yep.
A modernist will say, just like many of them said, Rosique and many others, this is a new teaching. It's a novel teaching.
Tell them to go pound sand
right now.
Yep. That's what I tell them. When they try and tell me something's changed the apostolic teachings, I'm going with what Christ taught. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Great article, Father Bill Peckman, Why Are Catholics Leaving the Faith? This is one brave priest, and he reveals the culprits. The quote that I mentioned, I just found it here. It was Father Edward Skillebeck's. He said this, quote, "We have used ambiguous phrases during the council, and we know how we will interpret them afterwards," close quote. So, again, nobody doubts that there's some ambiguity in some of the language.
Absolutely.
But that's why Pope Benedict knew that, and he gave us the interpretive form.
That's right.
How do you interpret? There's an interpreted method. It's called the continuity of faith, the hermeneutic of continuity. And Pope Benedict gave us this because he was the young Cardinal Ratzinger. He knew what Father Edward Skillebeck said. He knew about this quote.
Yeah.
So he's teaching us how to interpret the documents in light of all the other councils. So we go back to this incredible article by Father Peckman, and he says, talking about our Catholic faith, that we've lost our sense of the transcendence. He says, in losing our transcendence, the loss of the sense of the supernatural,
right.
He says, we also lost our relevance. No wonder we have a shortage of priests.
Exactly.
Who wants to give their life and not marry and serve such a faith that's mundane, that's of this world?
Right.
Again, though the human heart needs transcendence, the supernatural, he says, if we truly want to get back our lost generation, it will be by reversing this trend towards the temporal as being the be-all and the end-all of our lives. And this will happen in our liturgy and education first. We need to remember that without a transcendent God, the church is irrelevant. And Terry, I got to take my hat off to you because you've been in this battle for a long time. When I met you years ago, you've always understood that the battleground is having mass celebrated property.
Absolutely.
And you've tried in your little, as a layman, tried to do your part. And here's what you did for many years. And you influenced many Catholics, myself included. By having the family conferences that you had for many years, the organization that you ran as a CEO, St. Joseph,
right. You
brought in Father Fessio, another good priest, that celebrated a reverent Novus Ordo Mass. And that's something that, as we would all go to the annual conference, we didn't see this in our parish. But it was as a result of that that I started bringing that to my parish, and Father Steve Guitron imitated Father Fessio's Mass.
Praise God.
So it started influencing a lot of priests. They started saying, wow, that's how you celebrate the Vatican II Mass. And so you've understood this battle, the battle of the liturgy, getting it right for decades, and you continue to fight this battle. Our little headquarters is a chapel in Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
All the liturgies that you have there, you bring in the Eastern rites.
Yeah.
You have the Anglo-Catholic rite, which is drop dead beautiful,
right. And
the Novus Ordo masses that you have there. You have Latin masses, Novus Ordos.
Yeah.
So Terry, you've been in this battle a long time. You know how hard, how important it is to get this right.
Well, Jess, any good we do comes from God. We thank Him for it. But I did, with Father Fessio, found the Adoramus organization, adoramus.org, and they are actually coming next year to the Sacred Heart Chapel to do a conference on the liturgy. But you know what, Jess? That's why you and I have always said, life is short, eternity is forever. I think it's bad when we don't teach to young people that this is only a short stop. This is like summer school. It goes by quickly, and then you're there. And so this life, many times, they're not being told that only this life is leading to the next life. If you know, that there's consequences. And that's just not being taught. So what's he saying? We need to remember that without a transcendent God, the church is irrelevant. What? Yes.
Yep.
The world very much believes this. And for two too long, we have acted as if they were correct. We must reclaim, I love this, reclaim our birthright by remembering who our God is and what he expects. Continue on, Jess. This is firing me up. I love this talk.
Father Bill says, this will be a long road. It will be a shock to the system. It starts with us admitting we messed up. We have to own our mistakes. And I would say, Terry, that also has to do with the cardinals and bishops. They have to own up to their mistakes.
It's true.
Not only the lay people.
No, we all do.
We have to do an appropriate mea culpa and reverse course. We must understand that in trying to tame God and the devil, we left ourselves open for ruin.
Yep.
Can there be any wonder that we have experienced the depravity in and outside the church in the last century? He has a question. The sexual scandals are a symptom of the disease, but not the disease itself.
Well, so we repeat that one more time because that's
sexual
profound.
Sexual scandals are a symptom of the disease, but not the disease itself.
Exactly.
What's the disease? My modernism.
Exactly.
He writes, sexual scandals can only grow in swampish landscape of a loss of transcendence. In other words, every time you hear Father saying loss of transcendence, he's actually saying modernism.
Yes.
Because the definition of modernism is everything has a natural earthly explanation. There is no supernatural explanation. Everything has a rational, natural explanation. That's modernism. And that's what Father's talking about every time he uses the word that we've lost our sense of the transcendence.
And Jesse, he asked the question, how can you molest children and seminarians and then cover it up and still believe in a transcendent God? I say they can't. You see, Jesse, they lost their faith. And when they lost their faith, guess what replaced it? Carnal desires, and they had nothing to hold back. And that's what we have today. He said, to drain this swamp takes more than protocols to deal with where the swamp water is. You have to see where the water is coming from and stem the source. What a great advice to our bishops, Jess. Keep going, Jesse.
He says our masses, families, parishes, and schools must truly reflect reality.
You got it.
There most definitely is a transcendent God. He does have expectations of us. While he doesn't need love us uniquely, we too must love him as well. The road to relevance, a road we lost decades ago, can only be regained by restoring the transcendent. In other words, restore the supernatural and reject modernism.
He writes,
our foray, that means a sudden attack into enemy territory. He says, our foray into a sappy, Catholic, human-centered fraternal order has given us the identity of a cheap greeting card.
Oh my God.
We can and must remember who we really are called to be. And I'll tell you who we're called to be. A, in baptism, children of God. And B, at confirmation, soldiers of God. Got it? Got it? Good. Children of God, now soldiers of God. And at this point, we are part of the church militant until we drop dead. And we have to use the sword of truth, which is the word of God. We have to use our beads for the battle, which is the Holy Rosary. And we have to have Jesus in our heart and rush to the battle lines and be not afraid, for we serve a conquering king.
What I want to hear from our individual audience right now, each person, reporting for service, sir. Right now, we're reporting for Jesus Christ. So here's my suggestion, action items, Jess. Action items. Get deeper in prayer. Get deeper into the Eucharist by making those visits, by getting to masses, by reading your Bible more. See, here's the point right now, Jess. This is action items right now. This is a time where we have to report for duty because Jesus Christ is counting on each one of us to stand up for the truth. And I got to just say this again. When we are silent, that's when evil abounds. So even inside our church, with respect to our clergy, respect them, but call them to fidelity to what Christ taught. So if you hear something that's crazy that's going on, respectfully say, Father, how does that stand up to what the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches? I don't get what you're saying because I got to go with what the perennial teachings are. So what are we going to do, Jesse? Yes, we've got a battle on our hands. And every single day, before you even make the sign of the cross, say this. Are you ready? Reporting for service, sir. All right, Jess, it's all yours.
And Father ends, Father says, what would Jesus tell clerics about the scandals?
That's our second. Yeah.
Father says, there are times when I think about Jesus looking down on us clerics and saying, you know, I told you to go baptize the nations.
Yep.
I told you to teach all I taught.
This is great.
I told you to do this in memory of me. I told you to love one another as I love you. I told you to forgive sins in my name. I told you to be a light in the darkness. I warned you about becoming worldly. I warned you about the steep price for giving scandal. I warned you about being ambitious. I warned you about focusing on externals while hiding filth. I warned you that the world would not like you. I warned you because the people in your pews are my flock and not yours. I gave you a responsibility to care for them, to watch over them, to shepherd them. You were supposed to find the lost, not create them. You were supposed to point them to me, not you. You were supposed to make disciples for me, not you. I gave you an endless supply of grace to do so. I gave you my flesh and blood. We gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you a gospel, a church, a way of life. You were supposed to give it to my flock. My heart is broken from the immense damage done by the obscuring of truth, watering down of the gospel, ripping all sense of transcendence from the sacraments, and the predatory behavior of so many of my brother clerics. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, writes Father Bill Peckman, but I try, by the grace of God, to do what Jesus asks. Father says, these are challenging times. They are heartbreaking times. Were there an epoch of history more in need of the gospel than now? The body of Christ writhes in pain from the abuse hurled at it. It must stop. It must stop now. We know how to turn this around. Christ has already given us what we need. We must look, sound, and be as different from the world as light is from darkness. Thank you, Father Bill.
Wow. You're not kidding. Thank you. And I want to thank you, our listeners, supporting Virgin Most Powerful, because those are our marching orders, too, to proclaim Jesus Christ in season and out of season with charity and clarity. And I just want to thank all those monthly donors who have been supporting us, because we couldn't do this without you. You know, we're on, you know, the radio, we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, but we couldn't do that without you supporting the Terry and Jesse Show and all of the shows at Virgin Most Powerful. If you're not a monthly donor, please consider seriously of joining us. You can call me, 661-972-7872. I'd love to talk to you. Become a monthly donor. Lots of benefits. Jesse, thank you. Tomorrow is the 4th of July, and then Friday you're off, and we're going to have Steve Ray as a guest on the Terry and Jesse Show. Brother Jess, a few good words about, and we should be praying for all of our people who have kept the bad guys out of this country with all the wars that we've had, our military.
Say a rosary tomorrow for the troops, and exactly. Say divine mercy for all the troops, both living and dead.
Perfect. Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Stay close to Jesus. Run to the sacraments. Receive sanctifying grace. Be holy or die trying.
Well said. Thanks again for all your support here. I just want to say that now that Bishop Sheen's body is moved, I love being able to say full Sheen ahead, because his beatification can move forward. Praise God. Thanks again for all you do for us here at Virgin Most Powerful. Keep us in your prayers as we keep you in ours. May God bless you and your family, and full Sheen ahead.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.